Tonight, what I want to address to you is entitled this, A Surprising Encounter. A Surprising Encounter. We meet with people, perhaps, in the streets that we hadn't expected to see. And we're surprised, hadn't seen them for years. Well, I've met with somebody tonight I've not seen for a fair few years there. And that is very pleasant. We bump into people we hadn't expected to see. And on other occasions, we bump into people we'd rather wish we hadn't bumped into. Various encounters that may surprise us in a happy sense or in an unhappy sense. Well, tonight it is in the most happy sense that I'm going to open up this topic in the brief time that we have. So, a surprising encounter. And we're looking that wonderful narrative in Luke chapter 2 for our considerations this evening. Our first heading is this. The shepherds were going about their work. That's what they were doing. Going about their work, their ordinary work. And how often you might have heard that told to you in the context of these Christmas events. Yes, it would have been a day really quite normal to them. Their expectations would have been very much, we would say, earthbound. Their interests, earthbound. That was the circle of their acquaintance. Their encounters, such as they had, would have been maybe quite predictable ones and very much earthbound ones. What might they have been thinking about? Well, perhaps we can permit ourselves a little speculation on that. They might have been thinking about their wives at home, their children, their families. Maybe there were worries, concerns, quite valid, legitimate concerns, illness and health troubles that might have been plaguing their minds on that memorable historic evening. Maybe health troubles, their children not well. We know how many there were in those days, all kinds of conditions and leprosies and blindnesses and deafness. Not to mention as well, spirits, demons, all manner of difficulties, maybe very specific to that age and the age that was following, but nevertheless very, very troubling. Maybe it was the other shepherds. Work troubles. How were they getting on with their colleagues? Maybe the night shift weren't getting on with the day shift. Maybe some of those from the Bethlehem area weren't getting on so well with those from the Jericho area. Maybe there were disputes over pay, hard taskmasters that they were working for. They might have been in the fields there grumbling about their work and conditions, taking action maybe, or thinking about it, whatever they might have done in those days. And the sheep, well, they just needed looking after as sheep do. They weren't special sheep. Oh, the Christmas cards and the sheep that appear on those. Well, the shepherds would shake their heads there and say, we know not of these beautiful creatures that sort of adorn our cards there. No, these were just your ordinary sheep. There they were, all getting into scrapes, rather dirty and untidy things there. And maybe most of these men would have said if they were asked, me, I'm not religious. I'm not religious. A lot of people today would say that, wouldn't they? I'm not religious. Well, that was them. What about us? What about us? Well, I don't think any of us are shepherds. Tell me later on if I'm wrong in that. But our interests, may I suggest, are very similar to theirs. Very earth-centred. Very much of the here and the now. And indeed, there's much in the here and the now that would concentrate our minds and hearts. The economic crisis doesn't seem as if that's going to be suspended for Christmas. We'll find that still with us, I'm sure, in the new year. Troubles over the euro and more discussions, the French and the Germans and everybody else there in major powwow. Yes. Because of the time of the year, a little frost outside, a little chill in the air, these matters are not going to stop for a little snow or a little seasonal good cheer. Those earth-centred worries may well linger on into the next year. Worries about pensions, worries about retirement, worries about our own health. Well, it wasn't just the shepherds who would have had health troubles. We can claim amongst ourselves and amongst our families there equally troubles, health worries, concerns. This year has brought sorrows perhaps to us. And then our houses, bricks and mortar, all the holes in roofs and troubles with foundations and floors and things there. We've experienced a bit of that with the shop next door. We trust there that we're resolved on that now. But yes, all bricks and mortar, whether the house is going to stand, whether it's going to need major expenditure on it in the next year or so. And our work, if we're in an occupation that we get paid for, work away from home, or whether we work at home and get paid there for what we do. Targets that people are setting us. Impossible targets. And we've got those on our minds. And we're thinking, how will I ever be able to perform that? How will I be able to make that target that I am being asked to achieve? Or problems that need to be solved. And okay, for a while, maybe over Christmas, we can park them up, set them on one side. But we know that they will be there waiting for us January the 3rd, whenever we go back to work. Issues there, matters that will need our attention. School, dare I say it. We're breaking up. Some of us already have broken up and are feeling mighty glad about that. Others of us still got a couple of days there to soldier on. And there are troubles at school. Other children we're not getting on with so well. Subjects we feel we're lagging behind in. Matters very much of the here and the now. Earth-centred. Ah, yes. The shepherds were going about their work. We go about our work. We find ourselves here tonight. We go from this place, I know not to what. But we may say, yes, we're like the shepherds. We're not too religious. We're not really thinking of another world. We haven't got the time. We haven't got the occasion, really, to do that. We are in a hurry. We've got troubles that really preoccupy us. And what you're telling us about and what we read about here in the Bible is somewhere else. It's a remote thing to us. It was very interesting. Yesterday, some of us in the morning were out in the main street in Belper. And we were preaching there as best we could. A bit of competition from the local brass band and some jazz player who was down the way there. But we were able to preach and give out some tracts. Well, I can tell you that the response was pretty much like the air temperature, rather cold. People were just passing by and starting to preach. That's a bit much for us. Sort of steer a careful course around us. But then in the evening, there was a very enjoyable event in a church in Belper, raising funds for worthy causes and such things, and fine singing and bands and that, and singing great hymns. And congregation there, many I'm sure, the good and the great from Belper were there. Maybe some of those who had passed by in the street, as if it were acceptable to sing these things. And if we stop to consider what we're singing, we may be quite surprised. Because we're singing about remarkably serious things, and supernatural things, and extraordinary things. We must there reckon that we're not going to just like them when we hear them set to a tune, but not like them when we read them in the Bible, or hear them preached to us, or on the street, or whatever. They're the same truths. The hymn with which we will finish is absolutely packed with spiritual truths, supernatural truths. And so I must go to my second heading. That these shepherds met the supernatural world. These shepherds met the supernatural world. Not the world of their everyday. Not the world that they are familiar with. Work and family and what leisure they might have had in those days, I know not. And now, all of a sudden, quite unpredictably, a surprising encounter. And it wasn't a long-lost friend who was also a shepherd who was passing by and hailed them. It wasn't a traveller that was maybe seeking refuge with them. No. These were visitors from another world. Verse 9 of Luke 2, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. This came from elsewhere. This was completely unexpected. This was something they had not bargained for. When they set out, whatever it was they'd set out, maybe earlier that day or earlier that week, to be busy about their work. And as if that was not enough, soon they were going to encounter not one, but a whole host of angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A message from heaven brought by messengers from heaven, these angels. Here's a fact, that this world, divine world, this kingdom that is not the kingdom that is our world, if you will, and the things we touch and the things we do, always has to be revealed to us. We haven't the sight to see it. We haven't got, as it were, the senses, the touch, the feel, the smell, to be able to discern it and to be able to read it aright and consider it and evaluate it and understand it. Many people, sadly, seek after a supernatural world of their own invention. And all many of those who have come to great misery and harm, dabbling in the occult or going into some strange esoteric religion or other, hurt their minds or damaged in some way their understanding and ability to relate to other people. No, this is the true, the real supernatural world. This is where God inhabits, and these angels are his messengers. And he has to reveal these realities to us. And why is that? It is this. Sin closes us off from the world above. Sin. Sin prevents us being able to discern this world, respond to it, understand it, feel familiar with it, live within it. Oh, we go about our lives, don't we, with very little knowledge of the supernatural in this respect. We might say, well, oh, no angel met me when I was shopping in Alfreton the other day. Nothing like this happened to me on the way to school the other week. What is this world? How is this to be found? Because there is the damage of sin. This world God has withdrawn from us. He stands apart from us. Our sins have separated us from our God. And we are left with a mind that too readily dismisses the reality of these things. Unless, if you will, it's coming to us in more tuneful way. Where it's preached to us, or we read it in the Bible. Oh no, I'm not so happy with this. We look instead to find God in a particle, a subatomic particle, like what they're trying to discern there. Well, in CERN, isn't it, there in Switzerland. But it is not the God particle we should be looking for, but a particular God, the real God, the true God, the one who is eternal, invisible to us, yes, but all-wise and all-knowing, from whom we are separated. So yes, they met the supernatural world because it was revealed to them. And so it needed to be, because they, like us, are unable to understand it, cannot receive by our natural communication any knowledge of it, unless God reveals it to us. Now my third heading. The supernatural world came to them in the form of a babe. The supernatural world came to them in the form of a babe. This was the announcement of the angels. This is what they left by way of a message, that these men should go now and that they would meet with none other than God himself. And the remarkable thing is this, that they were to find him in Bethlehem and they would find him a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Well, I don't think they'd expected angels, and I don't think beyond that they'd expected the angels to tell them that the Saviour, the one whom their country had waited for, was now to be found in an adjacent town to them as a babe, lying in a manger. Well, this was indeed their expected Messiah. And though they may have boggled at the thought, and marvelled that such a thing should be true. They were so compelled by the fact that angels had told them this, that the supernatural world had come to them, that there they were to be found soon in Bethlehem, going with haste and finding exactly as described by the angels, the babe lying in a manger. What a saviour that this then is. Who has heard of such a thing as this? Who has heard of a people being saved by a baby? Well, if you were drowning in the sea, the last thing that you would look to be helped by would be an infant or a babe in arms. As though this child could do anything for us. How can this babe help us? Oh, but dear friends, this babe certainly could help them and can help us today. For here, in flesh and blood, now in a most wonderful and glorious way joined together, is the God whom we adore and worship. For he who is eternal has no body, has no form, has no need of substance to eat and food and air to breathe, has consented now in the person of his Son to come into this world in flesh and blood. Not to come fully formed as some sort of fit and vital 21-year-old, but to come right from the beginning, having been conceived in Mary's womb as a child, as a babe. And so the supernatural world that these angels had now brought to the shepherd's attention is now in this very earthly sense to be found as this babe, sharing our flesh and our blood, but not our sin, coming to us in this extraordinary and remarkable way, possessing all authority and deserving of worship, even as that babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And the life that is there to be seen and held and touched, that which concerns the word of life, grew and matured and grew in stature and wisdom, and eventually went into a public ministry, the like of which, even with the prophets that they were familiar with, could not compare with them. Raising the dead, curing the lepers, dealing with the most difficult situations, cutting through complex questionings and hostile interrogations that he was receiving. Extraordinary. They had never heard this. The scribes, the Pharisees, their own leaders, never taught them like this man had taught them. No man had ever spoken like him. But this flesh and this blood, this God-man, this unique being, is destined for a cross. He is going to go from a manger through his maturing years, through the work and service he will render to God, ultimately to a cross, to die. To be able there in his own flesh and blood, offering that which, as God, without any form or body, infinite and magnificent in that way, could not do, but could do now, through his Son, through his humanity. To die in the place of those who are shut out from this supernatural world, who have no contact with God, who cannot find him, though they may grope darkly as if they might try to find him. He comes that they who are estranged by their wicked works can now have their guilt and sin taken from them in a most perfect transaction that takes place upon the cross. They might find there all of their separation from God terminated and the debt of their sin that they owe to the Holy One paid by him. For God's view of us is a most serious one. And he sees us as those that are perishing and dying. And his sentence upon us will not be revoked or changed. For he is holy and just, does not make light of sin, make a kind of excuse for them and say, well, they didn't mean it. No, he says, they offended me, they broke my law, they must die for that. But no, let my Son pay instead. Let his death account for them. Let his death set them free from all the penalty that otherwise they will incur. And so, this encounter with the divine, this meeting with the Son of God, now not the babe in the manger, but that one who died upon the cross, removes from us fear and takes away from us condemnation and leaves us as a result of that encounter as the most blessed and happy people, finding safe ground, able to relate to God and speak to Him and pray to Him and hear from Him through His Word and through one another and through providence. Oh, what a place that is. Do you know anything of it? Have you found that as yet? Are you placed in this most remarkable situation, which eventually many of these shepherds would have been, that now the supernatural world carries for them no fear? The life beyond the grave is not something that terrifies them at the very thought of it. But they're now comfortable with it as a result of their encounter with the supernatural Son of God, who has come clothed in our flesh and who meets with those who will seek Him and blesses those who will ask Him and confers forgiveness on those who will repent of their sin. And those who find Him live with Him in the comfort of this supernatural surrounding, today and forever, and are blessed with His friendship and His companionship. Now my fourth and final heading is this: we need to become as little children to encounter Him. We need to become as little children. That we might be made fit for heaven requires of us something that does not come naturally to us. We must humble ourselves. The shepherds made haste. They obeyed. They heard what was told them. They obeyed. And for us today, if we are to be made fit and ready for the life beyond, for a world that is without end, for being in communion with a God who is infinite, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who has no end, then we too must humble ourselves like the shepherd and consent to God's means of providing access to Him. There is Christ, He is the door, none other. No other place. You can't go around this way and try that religion or a self-help thing here. You must come through Christ. The shepherds had to go to Bethlehem to meet with Him. And you, dear friends, you don't have to travel at all. He's heard in the gospel. He is received by faith as we hear of these things and are told of what has been done for us as sinners. All the great things that God has done. All the forgiveness He is willing to show. All the love that He is prepared to confer. Oh, humble yourself, as we all must, as little children, consent to what God has revealed here, that this Son, this remarkable Son, all the flesh, the blood, the cross, yes, Him, there you will find forgiveness of sin and everlasting life. There you will find that God indeed is willing to pardon sin, even your sin, if you will believe, if you will turn, if you will repent. If you will hear this and say, I must go to Him, else I perish. So go to Him. Yes, go to Him. Make haste, make speed, encounter here the divine. Be prepared for the world that will be. One day, you know, this world will end. One day, all of these things will be shaken. The earth will melt. There'll be fervent heat. All the elements will be dissolved. They will. And where will you be then? Where will you be? Will you be found still resisting, still standing against Him, still saying insistently, I'm not religious? Dear friend, on that day we will all be very religious. We will all then have very clear understanding of the reality of the world beyond. But I would wish better things for you. Oh, that you might now discover that peace. Because in the gospel, Christ comes to us in peace. He offers to us peace. He comes again when He will come in judgment. And the time will have gone, and the moments to repent have been lost, and those opportunities to respond and say, yes, I am that sinner. I need that salvation. I am unprepared for that world that is without end, that age that is a golden age. I am left apart from it and lost. all that God would show you that the glory of his Son is so that you may be helped, delivered, and saved, and brought into a happy place. Here is a divine encounter. And these divine encounters are still here to be received today for any who will believe on the name of the Son of God. So, what a surprise for those shepherds. What a surprise it might be for us, as it has been for any of us who are converted. We had not expected this. We had not thought that this is how life would be. And yet God had mercy on us and showed us what else we never would have seen. Oh, may he have mercy on you as well, dear friend. May you cry out to him, call upon him while he is near, that you may encounter the reality of these things, be made ready to live with him in the glory of eternity and heaven. May he bless you this Christmas time. Amen.